Once again, we'd like to welcome all of you to our service here at Union, this special time that we have together today, this afternoon, as we've met for the purpose of ordaining Brother Joe Myers to the full work of the gospel ministry. And we appreciate your outshowing of support and being here. Appreciate all the ordained help to be with us in this work. And this is a very special time for us as a church, because this doesn't happen very often. In fact, since this church has been constituted in 1887, this is only the eighth time that this has ever happened. The first ordination of a minister was here on June 24th, 1928, Elder Walter Greer. The second one, August 27th, 1949, Brother Melvin Myers. This is Brother Joe's grandfather, for those who don't know. June 22nd, 1968, Elder Cecil Easterling. March 22nd, 1975, Elder Wayne Myers, Brother Mickey's father. August 27th, 1989, Elder Randy Myers. This is Brother Joe's father. April 28th, 2001, Elder Joseph Nettles III. And the last one was May 22nd, 2004, Elder Luke Laird. And so we recognize this is a unique thing that we have here today. It doesn't happen every day, a special occasion. It's something we should be very thankful and grateful for, because if someone just says, "I want to be ordained," we don't ordain it. It takes a calling from God. God calls man to preach. It takes that man being faithful in that calling and is exercising that gift, growing in that gift. A lot of years can go by, as Brother Joe can tell you, any of these ministers can tell you, to get to the point that we are today is a great blessing and a privilege. We are thankful to the Lord for it. And the Lord, the reason we're here today is because the Lord has provided this. And we are simply recognizing what the Lord has already done. So at this time, my conference is to call for the peace of the church. Church answers in peace, for which we are thankful. Next item of conference is reference. As we've already brought up in the business here at Union, we will enter into this item of reference of ordaining Brother Joe Myers to the office of the full work of the gospel ministry. At our last conference, we appointed Brother Danny Easley as the church spokesman. So we will proceed with the ordination of Brother Joe. But first of all, we are going to ask Brother Danny, is the church, do you still desire to proceed with this ordination? Come up front and sit if you're not already. I think ministers on the left, deacons on the right. Is there anyone else that needs to come up at front and sit in the presbytery? All right, I guess we got everybody. We want to appreciate, we thank all of you for being here with us today. So this time we are going to ask Brother Danny again, are you satisfied with the presbytery as a symbol? All right. Next, I'm going to ask the presbytery, are you satisfied with the presbytery as seated? All right. Well, we'll move on to the first act of the presbytery, and that's to elect one of its members to act as the moderator. What is the mind of the presbytery in this? All right, motion made and second. Any discussion? All those in favor, say aye. All right. Next item of business is to nominate a clerk. I have a suggestion. Brother Seth Touchstone is already in the presbytery. He is our church clerk, and if the presbytery is agreeable, we can have him serve as the clerk of the presbytery. But what's the mind of the presbytery on this? All right, motion made and second. Brother Seth, be the clerk. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Next item of business is for us to appoint someone to question both the church and the subject. I will say that it is Brother Joe's desire that Elder James Isaacs do that, but what is the mind of the presbytery on who should question Brother Joe? All right, motion made and second for Brother James Isaacs to question Brother Joe. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Next item of business is to select someone to deliver the charge. Again, Brother Joe has asked for Elder Luke Laird and myself to deliver the charge, but what is the mind of the presbytery on delivering the charge? Motion made and second. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. And next is someone to be selected to offer the ordination prayer. Brother Joe has asked for Elder Mickey Myers to offer the prayer at the laying on of hands. But what is the mind of the presbytery on this? Motion made and second for Brother Mickey to offer the prayer. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right, at this point, we're going to ask Brother Danny, if he would, to deliver Brother Joe to the presbytery so he can be questioned at this time. And we're going to ask Elder James Isaacs to come up to offer these, to ask the questions. And I would just like to say, as Brother Danny's bringing Brother Joe up, that the questioning, the purpose of it is not to try to trip up Brother Joe and cause him to stumble in front of everybody. The purpose of it is to give him an opportunity to affirm what he believes. Just like in a wedding ceremony where vows are exchanged, everyone knows they love each other, but they state that. And this is an opportunity for him to do that in your presence. And if anyone has not heard him preach, you have an opportunity right now to find out what he believes. So we're going to ask Brother Danny to bring Brother Joe up and ask Brother James to come up to question Brother Joe.
This is very solemn business. Brother Danny, you've already indicated that the church here has heard Brother Joe preach, and he's feeding the flock in his preaching efforts. I feel like there's one question that's a bit unusual that needs to be asked, having heard the list of men who have been ordained in this church read. You're not doing this because he's a Myers. It is a fact that God has called a number of men from that family to preach the gospel, but this is not a matter of family connection. This is a matter between God and the man he's called. Brother Joe, why do men need to be saved? Thank you. That's absolutely correct. Who devised means whereby men could be saved?
God our Father, before the foundation of the world, purposed His Son and applied the Holy Spirit.
And what is the role of Jesus in our eternal salvation?
He is the Lamb of God. precious blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And he was only one righteous.
Thank you. What's the role of the Holy Spirit in eternal salvation?
Regenerate the born again.
There was a covenant made among the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost for the salvation of a specific people. Do you believe that?
Yes, sir.
When was that covenant made?
For the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1:4.
Thank you. What's the purpose of the gospel?
To shed the glorious light of salvation. To bring knowledge to those that have already been saved. It's a wonderful thing to be saved, Brother James. But if we don't know it, how can we glory in it?
Yeah. Thank you. While Jesus was on the earth, he established a kingdom. Do you believe that? Suppose today some men come to believe the truth and they decide to organize a church but leave out immersion as the ordinance of baptism and to substitute sprinkling. Would they have authority to do that?
Yes, sir, not according to the word of God. When Philip brought the eunuch down, God sent Philip by the Spirit over there in that city. The eunuch asked Philip, what does it hinder me to be baptized? He said, thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And it says they went down into the water, came up out of the water. When our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was baptized by John the Baptist, it says he came straightway up out of the water. And the Spirit of the Lord descended on him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven. Said, this is my son, and whom I am well pleased. The only ordinance of baptism is by immersion, as said by the Scriptures. It's the only rule of faith and practice, and we can't err from that.
Thank you. I think you answered the next question.
They kind of all go together. Can't take one out.
What is the role or what is the importance of Scripture to the church?
It's the rule.
It's the rule.
It's the standard.
Absolutely. It's not a suggestion.
No, sir.
But Joe, are you willing to go as you're called to preach the gospel to God's children, whether they support you financially or no?
Yes, sir. If we were doing this for money, Brother James, we're in the wrong place.
Thankfully, the brethren have been good.
Yes, sir. I might have said that a little bit wrong. They have been buried.
Brother, I'm satisfied.
The certificate of ordination that we will all be signing today. And it states, we the undersigned elders and deacons of the Primitive Baptist Church, at the request of Union Primitive Baptist Church in Ruth, Mississippi, met with them on the 29th of January, 2022, for the purpose of ordaining Brother Joseph Myers the full functions of the gospel ministry. After carefully examining Brother Joe, we found him to be sound in doctrine and orderly in his walk, and to possess the scriptural qualifications of an elder. We then proceeded to set him apart to the full work of the gospel ministry by prayer and the laying on of hands, and we hereby certify to his full authority to administer the ordinances of the church, and to serve the church in any capacity which the Bible authorizes, where God in his providence may cast his lot, and where prudence may dictate, and we pray God's blessings to attend his labors in the gospel. The church, the presbytery, and the candidate hold to the doctrine that God did, before time, personally and unconditionally choose in his Son a portion of the human race to be heirs of eternal glory, and predestinated them to be conformed to the image of his Son, but deny that God predestinated sin, that the atonement is special and for the elect only, that all the elect will be regenerated in time by the direct and immediate work of the Holy Spirit in the heart, that the saints will all be preserved in Christ by grace to glory, that the Lord's children enjoy blessings and obedience in this life, which cannot be enjoyed otherwise, that baptism is by immersion, and the children of God are the only proper subjects, that the observance of the Lord's Supper and washing of the saints' feet are to be observed in the church until its second coming, the resurrection of the dead at the last day, the children of God to be raised to eternal life, happiness, and glory, and the unregenerated to be raised to eternal punishment. If the brother should depart from these principles, then these credentials are thereby nullified and made null and void. So with that in mind, I ask the presbytery, are you satisfied with Brother Joe and ready to move forward in this work? All right. We'll put that to a vote. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right. That was unanimous. Next, it is time for us to offer the ordination prayer. So what we're going to do is we're going to ask Brother Joe, if you would, to kneel down there. And we'll all gather around Brother Joe, lay our hands on him. If you can't get your hands on him, the one laying their hands on him will be good enough. So if all of you would gather around Brother Joe, and we'll ask Brother Mickey, if he would, to lead us in this prayer once we all get situated.
Let us pray. To our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens, Lord, we come to you. We trust in humble submission, giving thanks for this day, and for every blessing that flows from the throne of God. But Father, we love that song we sung just moments ago. My precious wife's favorite song in this book. Never alone. Lord, we thank you for that crimson cleansing tide. We heard this morning about a debt that we owed, that we had nothing to pay with. But we thank you again for this day. Lord, being a public servant all my life, I've observed this so abundantly. I don't know of any family in the world is so difficult, so unfriendly to parenting. I don't know if anyone has done a better job raising their children. Than Brother Randy and Sister Diane. Lord, you sent them godly spouses. This morning, Lord, I looked around and perhaps 13 grandchildren, beautiful and healthy. Or we know our labors of love in the Lord are not in vain. And we know your grace is sufficient, that you withhold no good thing from those that diligently seek you. Lord, help us to be more diligent in that search. Lord, we thank you again, as Brother James Isaacs mentioned moments ago. This is not a Myers thing. But Lord, we thank you for my great-grandfather and Brother Joe's great-great-grandfather Oh, Brother Steve Nettles. Lord, I never heard him preach. But I trust one day I'll meet him in the day of the resurrection. Lord, we know, as we confess this afternoon, that Brother Steve may have planted. Brother Melvin, Brother Wayne, Brother Cecil, Brother Oscar, Brother Randy, and this current generation, Lord, we trust have watered. But we know it's God who's given the increase. Oh, my Father, a verse that keeps coming to mind this day. We read in the book of Acts, Lord, where you said that in times past, God suffered all nations to walk in their own way. But that nevertheless, Lord, it's been our experience in life that nevertheless, when it comes to Jesus Christ, seems almost always the more. But nevertheless, he left not himself without a witness, but did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons and filled our hearts with food and gladness. Lord, we know you satisfy our mouth with good things, but that filling our hearts with food, Lord, that's spiritual food. That's that manna that falls from heaven. And Lord, we just ask you to be with Brother Joe Myers. We love this dear brother. What a blessing it's been to watch him grow up here in Union Church. Heavenly Father, we thank you for his gift. We thank you for his beautiful family. Lord, we ask you to bless all of them. Oh, Heavenly Father, we read in your word where you maketh room for a man's gift and bringeth him before great men. And Lord, I thank you for the great men. And we know that's not gender specific. The great men and women, those old fathers in Israel and the patriarchs of the church, Lord, those mothers in Israel who set such a good example by their faithfulness to the cause of Christ. Heavenly Father, Brother Joe would experience that too as he comes before great men. It may be some, Lord, who's just so simple. Some precious sisters who tell me from time to time, Brother Mickey, I pray for you every day. Or a precious sister with very limited resources in this natural world that will walk up to you and put $2 in your shirt pocket. Or perhaps a sister who loses her hearing and her children ask her, say, Mama, why do you keep going to church? You can't hear what goes on. And her response is, no, but I sure can feel it. Well, we could just go on and on this afternoon. We just ask you to bless this dear brother. Help us to encourage each other and forgive each other. The Brother Clem Nettles always prayed at this church to look over each other for good and not for evil. Heavenly Father, we pray for everyone who is assembled here this day. And we know there's many who are not here who would love to be at this very moment. Well, Lord, we think, especially this afternoon, about Sister Frances Jones. Lord, confined to an assisted living facility in Baton Rouge. Her eyesight is gone. But I believe she saw this day. By an eye of faith, she saw this day. And Lord, we just can't ask you to bless Brother Joe. Bless his ministry. Lord, we have examples in this church. I remember being around Brother Melvin and Brother Wayne. And Lord, it seemed like they never got discouraged. But then they ordained me, and I realized that they did. But Lord, help us to be a source of encouragement. Help us let our light so shine before men and that others will see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Again, Lord, we just thank you for this day and what it means to Union Church and for the old Baptists that cling to that salvation by grace that we've heard so ably preach here today. Lord, again, just forgive us of the ways we fail you daily. Be with Brother James and Brother Luke, Lord, as they deliver the charge this afternoon. And help us, O Lord, to err on the side of mercy if we sojourn in this sin-cursed world. knowing that we'll sin until we draw our last breath. And then we'll wake in your likeness, Lord, and be satisfied. Lord, just forgive us of the ways we fail you daily. And continue to love us freely for Jesus' sake, for in your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.
Brother Joe, your ordination just took place. So now, this time, it's time for us to encourage you. God told Moses to charge Joshua when he was going to leave the scene, and Joshua would then be the one to lead Israel. And now it's our time to charge you, encourage you. So we're going to ask Brother Danny, if you would, to bring your wife, Sister Christy, to come up and sit beside you to give us an opportunity to charge you. And we're going to ask Brother Luke to come on up and deliver the charge.
It's always a encouraging thing to me to see men set aside for this work. And the reason that is, it lets me know the Lord's not through with His children. He's still blessing them. He's still raising up gifts among them. The gospel is still being proclaimed. What you just witnessed here in the laying on of hands, you know, Paul, over in 2 Timothy, when he gives the qualifications for a minister, as he starts to transition to the deacons, he says, likewise, must the deacons be grave. So he says, just like these men, these elders should hold these qualities. But one of the first things he mentions there is grave. Brother James says this is a very solemn time to whence we've come. It is a very grave time. I'll look at the example of Jesus Christ. I mean, the fact is, the Lord is baptized not to become the Son of God, but to declare that He is. And the first individual to visit Him is not the fine brethren down at the church, not the deacon. It's Satan himself. Have a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. You're in the fight. And the gravity of the situation is, as Brother Mark preached this morning, your conversation, your walk. Oh, if he can make you stumble, brother, he can impact multiples of congregations. Walk circumspectly. Be of a sober mind. Understand the gravity of what you've called to. Paul mentions twice in Timothy about the laying on of hands that he done for Timothy. One of the things that we hold and understand to be true is this, that Jesus Christ established His kingdom on the face of this planet. And He gave her two things to do. He gave her the Lord's Supper and baptism. And He showed us both of them. And He said that we're to continue to do those things until He comes again. Now, what I want you to understand is, Jesus Christ established a kingdom. He gave it unto His apostles. And as we read very clearly earlier today, those apostles taught men and charged them to teach other men. And I'll tell you, when those hands were laid on you this day, there was hands laid on these brethren, which was laid on brethren before them, that was laid on brethren before them, that went back to the fact when Jesus Christ laid hands on the apostles. Yes, it's very grave. It is the perpetuity of the church. And I'll tell you, that is important that we understand that. The Lord set her up just like He intended to. He perfectly, thoroughly furnished her with everything that she'll need this side of eternity. And if we're going to be satisfied then, we might as well be satisfied now with exactly the way He set her up. That's the gravity. My knees were shaking under the weight pressing upon me, as I'm sure they were for you. And that weight goes all the way back. I'll never forget one time I was having lunch with our grandfather. And this man asked him, said, "When are you going to run for governor of Mississippi?" He said, "Man, I serve in a much higher office." The guy had no idea what he was talking about. There's no greater office to serve in, but there's also no more grave or more serious office to serve in either. The reason is, it's like Solomon said unto the Lord. He said, "Lord, I need some things." Over in second book of Chronicles, the first chapter and the seventh verse, it says, "In that night did God appear unto Solomon and said to him, 'Ask what I shall give thee.' And Solomon said unto God, 'Thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and has made me reign in his stead.'" You've seen mercy rain down on God's children in the same place that I have. You've experienced it. You've seen it. You've been an eyewitness to it. Solomon said, "I saw the mercy you extended my father. I saw the mercy that our fathers were extended, and our fathers' fathers, and our fathers' fathers' fathers." God is merciful, and He continues to be merciful. "Now, O Lord God, let Thy promise unto David my father be established, for Thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude." And He says, "Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this Thy people that is so great?" Brother Joe, you will go in and out before the greatest people on the face of the planet. The children of the Most High. The bride of the Lamb. I charge you. You pray for wisdom and understanding. And you seek knowledge all the days of your life. Because the people that you go in and out before, they deserve no less than your very best effort. Because in serving them, you're serving Him who's called you into this service. I pray that you seek wisdom. That you ask the Lord. And I'm thankful He promises He'll give it liberally, because that's one of the prayers I pray all the time. But you're going to need it. You're going to need it. But this people is a great people. This. Man, I want you to think about this, Brother Joe. There's a lot of things a man can tolerate. There's a lot of times, Brother Mark, I can be extremely long-suffering. I can be forgiving even in some instances when things are directed toward me. I said some. When things are directed toward me. But I can assure you this. I would probably have a much harder time containing myself if that was directed toward my bride. And I'm just a man. Now, this bride that you're called to serve, her husband, is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And he desires nothing less than your very best. He desires that you be ready always. I remember a time there the Lord come to a fig tree, and it wasn't even time of figs, but he was looking for a fig on that tree, and he cursed that tree. And the apostles marveled when they come back by, and that tree was dead. I'm going to tell you, we're to be instant in season and out of season, brother. Christy, this call that my dear brother has, you don't have. I know firsthand some of the sacrifices that you'll have to make. Because I've seen it in my wife. I know firsthand some of the things that and the sacrifices that y'all have to make that nobody will ever know. But whatever sacrifice you make and whatever suffering the Bible tells us that we endure is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. So suffer. If you suffer for Christ's sake, suffer willingly. Suffer gladly. Because there's not a greater people on the planet to suffer for than those that the Lord gave His very all for. You see, God didn't give His children, Brother Joe, or Brother Luke, or Brother James, or Brother, or any other. He sent them the very best that He had. His only begotten Son. And I'll tell you, He deserves no less than our very best in serving Him. Not to get anything, not to acquire anything, not to do anything but other than to honor and praise His matchless and glorified name. Because you know what? We're named by the same name. We're given a name above every other name. And we're called to be ambassadors. And you're called to be an under-shepherd. And there's going to be sufferings. That's why Paul told Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier. There's going to be hardness, Brother Joe. I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you. I want to encourage you because I'm going to tell you, when you read this book, He's just the same today. Jesus Christ, same yesterday, today, and forever. As He was with Moses, He'll be with Joshua. As He was with Joshua, He's going to be with us. But I'm going to tell you, we need to strive to follow Him each and every step. We need to have no confidence. I'm going to tell you, the greatest confidant that you need to have is not anybody on the face of this planet. He's not giving us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And brother, we can boldly go to a throne of grace. I'll never forget at the age of 16, one time I was reading my Bible and I come across this particular text and I couldn't quite figure it out. And I jumped in my truck and I said, I'm going down to Pawpaw's. And I took off down the road. And about halfway down there, just before you get to them little hoops to get them in the roof there, I got this crazy idea. What am I going to do if Papa's not here? I took a left on top, so I went back to the house. I got that book out, and I read. And I went to a prayer. I crawled in my closet and poured everything I had out before the Lord. And you know what? He still answers cries. He's promised that He'll still answer. And I'm going to tell you, He'll give us light. That's the greatest confidant. Now, lean on these brethren. Because I'm going to tell you, these brethren, I have the greatest respect for these brethren that have been doing it. I'm telling you, it's crazy. Brother James said that. That's 18 years ago. 18 years ago, I was sitting right where you are. In May, by the way. In May. Not January, but May. 18 years have flown by. But it's also been, I understand a little bit about enduring hardness too. And those brethren that have been doing this for 50 and 60 years, I'm going to tell you, they've stood under a weight for a long time and they've held the course. And I will tell you, I have the greatest respect for brethren. Don't lose sight of how precious that is, because I'm going to tell you, just as precious as these people are, His servants are just as precious. Now, does that mean you throw the baby out with the bathwater? No, it doesn't. That's why you need wisdom. You see, Paul rebuked the church at Corinth because there was brethren that the church at Corinth was breaking bread with that they had absolutely no business breaking bread with. And because of that, there was many sick and dying among them. What we do here is serious business. It's not something to be entered into lightly. It's not something to take lightly. There are things that can be forgiven. There are times when you're going to have to stand. There's times when you're going to have to endure hardness as a good soldier because people are not going to like the stance you make. But I'll charge you, as long as you stand in according to thus saith the Lord of God, stand. Amen. Stay the course. Because as He was with them, He'll be with us. The other thing is, serve with humility. Because there might come a time you stand in the wrong spot. And some of these brethren that love you dearly might call you to task for it. And say, brother, what do you mean by what you said? They're not doing that because they have something against you. They're not doing that because they dislike you. They do that because they love you and they love the cause and the kingdom and understand the beauty of the bride. You've shown forth that humility, brother. I pray the Lord bless you to continue to walk therein. The other thing that I'll tell you is there may come a time. The Lord said, he who loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. There may come a time in your ministry where you may have to cut ties with brethren that you love dearly. Because in the book of Galatians, Paul writes to the church of Galatians, says, O foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you? He said, if any man come preaching any other gospel than this same one that you've affirmed here this day, he says, let him be accursed. And then he repeats it again. I'm going to tell you, the cause, the kingdom, the gospel and the truth are more important than any familial ties, any ties of friendship, any other ties that you may find, because he who you serve is greater than all. And that relationship has done something for you you could never do for yourself. This church, the church, this kingdom that God established on the face of the planet is the ground and pillar of the truth. Seek it with every fiber of your being. Paul told Timothy, don't be ashamed of me, a prisoner of Christ. Don't be ashamed of, nor the gospel of Christ. Don't be ashamed of the gospel, nor of me as prisoner. That's what he says. We'll get there in a minute. Don't be ashamed of the Lord's servants. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Stand for the truth. You see, ground and pillar. You think about that. You know, if something doesn't have a foundation, it's about useless. If this building didn't have a foundation, it'd fall down on us right now. It'd crumble. This kingdom has a surer foundation than any foundation can be found on the face of this planet, because every foundation on this planet is going to melt with a fervent heat and be folded up like a vesture. But this kingdom that we're a part of right now is founded upon the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, it shall never be moved. That's the foundation. The ground and pillar of the truth. So foundation is what holds it and sturdies it. That pillar is what lifts it up. And the church is still called today to lift up the truth. And that's what you're called to do, dear brother. To preach that same gospel. There's nothing new under the sun, brother. Don't look for nothing new. It's not there. No new thing under the sun. But I'll tell you that sweet old story. The same one that's been told by generation, by generation, by generation, after imposition of hands and imposition of hands and imposition of hands. That's the same old gospel that I want to hear you proclaim when we're old and gray. If the Lord bless us to live that long. If He comes back sooner than that, it'll be all right, because we'll hear a much better preacher than any of us. But until that day, I charge you, dear brother, to walk according to the only rule of faith and practice. I charge you to hold up the truth. I charge you to be a good under-shepherd as we serve the chief shepherd. That you feed the flock of God. And I got news for you. Churches are full of sinners, just like pulpits are. Sometimes they're going to do things that really aggravate you. Sometimes they might even do things. I'm going to get to church just a minute. Let me get over here. Let me flip over here to Hebrews. I'm going to get y'all to. while we get. In Hebrews, in the 13th chapter, 7th verse, Union Church is recognized and set aside. Brother Joe Myers, be ordained to the full work of the gospel ministry. Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you. That's what a elder is. An overseer. I'm going to tell you, brethren, the things that come out of this pulpit is your responsibility. And it's your responsibility and it's my responsibility as long as my membership's here. That's our charge. And likewise, deacons ought to hold the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. And if there are things that are set forth from this place that are contrary to that which is called sound doctrine, that which has been delivered, and we have most thoroughly believed, then individuals that stand in such a place, it says, let them be accursed. Yeah, that's a hard stand to make sometimes, because sometimes people don't even understand why you're standing. Remember them which have the rule over you, have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Verse 17, I'm going to skip. Now, this is a charge to the church. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. This is getting to be a much more grave issue now, Brother Joe. You see, the souls of these brethren where you'll serve, you'll go in and out before. They're a great people, but I'm going to tell you, there's some things you're held accountable for. But they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. You know what he's saying here, church? Church, if you walk according to the only rule in faith and practice, it's going to make this dear brother's job a whole lot easier. And you'll enjoy it too. I'm going to tell you, it's a lot more fun to preach those good things than it is to handle the bad things. But unfortunately, being that churches are full of sinners, sometimes there's some bad things that you're going to have to handle, brother. And when that time comes, don't be ashamed of the truth of the gospel. It's just as true when it pierces our very soul as it is when it lifts us up on high. The truth is the truth. May you ever proclaim it. May you be blessed to fight well. May you endure hardness as a good soldier. And may when your days come to an end, we be able to say, that dear brother fought a good fight. He kept the faith. He fed the flock of God, whom God had made overseer. I pray that He put a hedge of protection about you. I pray that He bless your family. I pray that He put a clear path before you, that He keep you as an apple of His eye, and that we might always remember to be mindful one of another, one under the throne of grace, that we might hold one another up. And when you get to those times when you feel like you just can't depend on somebody, you feel like you're at the end of your wit, have some brethren on speed dial. They'll help you. Some of these brethren have helped me and I've helped them. It goes both ways. But don't forget, you've got a direct line all the time to the Most High. And He'll never leave you or forsake you. No matter how bad it may get, no matter what in hardness you might endure, I'm going to tell you, He's worthy to be praised. And this work that He's called you to do is the greatest work you could be called to do on the face of this planet. But don't forget, it is a labor. And may you labor well. May the Lord bless you. God bless you, Brother James.
I want to say amen to all that has been said before. And I'd like to say, Brother Joe, it feels like the last several years I've been charging you. And that's been a wonderful blessing for me. I hope it has been for you. And, you know, there are no junior elders. From here on out, you're just like the rest of us. I'll say, I missed the chapter that you're leaving because back then, if you didn't preach, if you flopped, oh, well, he's just starting, he's growing. They're going to expect you to preach now. But since I've had the blessed opportunity to have been charging you all these years, what do I say in a moment like this? I feel like it's only appropriate for me to get personal with you, pour my heart out to you, and tell you what makes me tick. What are my feelings for the ministry? What is my philosophy? We've dealt with a lot of hypotheticals. We've dealt with a lot of scenarios. But I want to tell you about my personal experience in the ministry and what it's about to me. And I'd like to go to 2 Corinthians 1, verse 24, the last verse of 2 Corinthians 1, to explain this, of how I feel. Paul says, "Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand." Paul says, as a minister, he is not the one that has dominion over their faith. That's not our role. Our role is not to be domineering and to be a dictator to other people and what they believe and where they stand. But our role is to be a helper of their joy. That's what I view as my role in the minister, is to help the joy of God's people. We've already heard this morning, you can't get them to heaven, but there are some things you can do that will benefit them and bless them, and I'd like to go over that with you this afternoon. But first, you can't help their joy if you don't first have joy. You've got to have joy in your heart, a joy that comes out in your preaching, a joy that comes out in your interaction with God's people. And it's a joy that should be founded on some things. In Luke chapter 10, the apostles come back to Jesus rejoicing and excited that the devils were subject to him. And Jesus says, yeah, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. But he says this in verse 20, "Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Don't let your success in the ministry be the source of your joy. Success is not up to us. That's in the Lord's hands. What is up to us is faithfulness. We've got to be faithful day in, day out, Sunday in, Sunday out, when you don't feel like it, when you do feel like it. But what the source of your joy should be the source of God's people's joy, and that's that your name is written in heaven. I mean, just comprehend that thought. Your name is written in heaven. That's worthy of rejoicing. Bible tells us in Philippians 4, verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. That means your joy should always be founded upon the Lord, not your circumstances. Not whether your preaching is blessed. Not whether things are going right in the church or not. Not whether things are going well with your health or well with anything else. Your joy is in the Lord. And I'll say, Sister Christy, you have a big role to play and Brother Joe's joy. As Brother Lucas said, you haven't been called to this. And I tell you, I have a special tender place in my heart for the preacher's wife. Because she goes through all the same struggles with none of the blessings. You'll never know what it's like to be blessed to preach. You'll never know what it's like to have, in the middle of the night, a verse of Scripture come to your mind and flood your mind with joy and studying and understanding that. You'll never understand that. But you will face a lot of the same struggles. And I'll tell you, there is nothing like having a friend at home. Someone you can vent to. Someone who you can depend on. Someone who will pick you up when you're down. Someone who is just always there to help. And really, a preacher's wife can be the biggest hindrance or the biggest blessing to a preacher. What the Lord knew what He was doing when He recognized that we need a help meet. We need help. And what a blessing to have that. And I would encourage you, Sister Christy, I remember at my brother's ordination, when it was all done, I had a flashback in my mind of my dad driving his truck by himself and him telling me, "I've driven a lot of lonely miles." And anyone who's preached the gospel can understand that. There's a lot of trips you go on and you're by yourself. And it's a blessing to have the Lord along for the ride. As Brother James says, he'd just soon have his own company. I just soon have the Lord's company. But if I had a second choice, it'd be the company of my wife. And those lonely miles, oh, how wonderful it is when the family is along. I'd encourage you to go with Brother Joe. I'd encourage you to give him constructive criticism about his preaching. Now, I said constructive criticism. You know, some things need to be fixed, and some things get to be distracting, and sometimes he gets long-winded and just needs someone in the crowd to let him know what the time is. So those are all ways that you can help him. And I'll just be honest, since I'm making some confessions, it's hard to remember dates and people having surgeries and this and that and the other, and you can help him with that. It's hard to remember everyone's name. They all know your name, but you may not know their name, but need some help with that. We just need a lot of help, and that's a great blessing. And I can say I've had goals, you know, in the qualifications of the ministry in 1 Timothy 3, one of them is to be given to hospitality. Now, you'll have a role to play in that. If Brother Joe's going to be given to hospitality, coming to his home is also your home. And, you know, everybody does that a little different, I suppose. Some men don't tell their wife company's coming. Some do. But whatever, however they're given to hospitality, that's coming into your home also. And I've had goals of our children knowing a verse of Scripture in every book of the Bible. Two of them have got it. The third one is a long way from it. But that was only successful because of my wife. If she hadn't been reinforcing those things at home day in, day out, I'm just not home enough. And I'll say also that a minister of the gospel has something pulling on him that not every man does. Every man has the pulling of having to provide for his family and also be with his family, help the family, be around them, be involved. Those things are pulling, the family, the work. But a minister of the gospel is pulled in one other direction. And to be honest, when you're pulled in these three different directions, you eventually feel like you're just mediocre at all three. And there is going to be times that Brother Joe is not going to be there. He's going to be at the hospital visiting someone who's sick. He's going to be somewhere else. He may be having to study, go into another room, be by himself. But I want you to know this. Just because he's away doesn't mean he doesn't want to be with you. Doesn't mean he doesn't desire your company. He's got a burden placed on him of the Lord and the church that, Brother Joe, this is for life. There's no retirement. There is no time when you say, okay, I've had enough. This is for life. It's a burden that remains on you for life. And so I would say, having said all that, how can you be a helper of God's people's joy? In 1 John chapter 1, Apostle John writes in verse 4, "These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. I'm going to tell you, you can help God's people's joy by giving them the Word of God. That's the source of joy for me, and I see it in God's people, that God's Word is the source of joy. Joy is not happiness. It's not your role, not your responsibility, to try to make God's people happy. That's for politicians. That's not for us. Our responsibility is to help their joy. In fact, I will say, in order for you to help their joy, sometimes you got to make them mad. Sometimes you got to make them ashamed. And sometimes you have to make them sorrowful. In Acts chapter 2, the Apostle Peter preached to the very ones who with their own voices shouted, "Crucify him to the Lord." And he told them, "Your wicked hands have crucified and slain him." But if you go to the end of that chapter, they were pricked in the heart. They repented. They were baptized. And then they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. I'll tell you, what happened just a few months ago in the lunchroom was a beautiful thing. We've been missing that. Just to see people, you know, enjoying one another's company, sharing a meal together. Oh, what a blessing that is. I rejoice in seeing the joy that we have had here today. In fact, if you want to help their joy, you feed them. I mean, that. I always get happy the person feed. You know, I will admit, Brother Joe and Sister Christie, I know y'all both went to culinary school. I think that I pronounced that right. And I just sit back sometimes and just wonder, what is their supper table like? I bet it has some great food and looks pretty. I just wonder about that. But, you know, since you understand cooking and food as a personal chef, Brother Joe, then you'll understand in preaching the gospel is like feeding God's sheep. It's important you know what to feed them with. In Jeremiah 3:15, God calls pastors after his own heart to feed God's people with knowledge and understanding. You feed them with that. You feed them with God's word. In fact, you will show Jesus that you love him when you feed his lambs and feed his sheep. And you'll help their joy. You know, in Psalm 48, I will tell you, it's not really that hard to help God's people's joy because you are already starting out on high ground. You are starting out here, as he says in Psalm 48, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God and the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge." It's not hard to help God's people's joy if they come to church. If they come to this place that's Mount Zion, the joy of the whole earth. There's no other place on earth that you'll experience the joy that you'll experience here in this place. So, Brother Joe, the challenge is to get them to church. They come to the joy of the whole earth. And what they find here, they find here a place where the love of God is found. You know, I think about what the source of my joy in a lot of ways depends on other people's love for me. If someone loves me and they show they love me, there's joy in that. But what about seeing and experiencing the love of God here in the house of God, knowing the Lord loves you? Oh, there's joy in that. And not only seeing the love of God, but the love that everyone has towards each other. Jesus says in John 13, this is how you'll know that you're my, they'll know you're my disciples, when you have love one to another. Love one another as I have loved you. Here in this place, there is great joy. Brother Joe, from this point on, you are now authorized to administer the ordinance of baptism and communion. And I will say, when you have a child of God who comes and joins the church and you put them in that, as we call it, the watery grave, you know, there are some things that I'm not going to say tricks of the trade, but there's some things you need to know about that. That is a burial. And if there's any part of their body that doesn't get under that water, they need to go in again. Now, none of us really wants to get them in there twice. Just get them in there good the first time, and that'll be it. But make sure they come out, because the resurrection needs to be. And that's easier or harder depending on who you're baptizing. But I will tell you, as the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8, they will go on their way rejoicing. And that way you've helped their joy. In the communion service, it's very important you direct their minds to the body and the blood of Jesus Christ in the bread and in the wine. And in doing so, you are going to cause them great sorrow. Because we've got to direct their minds to our sins caused Jesus to suffer and die in our stead. And I'll tell you, there's sorrow in that. But again, it's not our role to be a helper of their happiness. It's to be a helper of their joy. And in the foot washing service, I'm going to tell you, I'm making this confession. This is just not like me. I dread the foot washing service. Now, it's not because I don't want to wash someone's feet. I wash everybody's feet. But boy, I have a hard time letting someone get down on their knees and wash my feet. First of all, I don't feel worthy of that. I just, can you imagine the Lord washing your feet? But I will tell you, at the end of the communion service, oh, there's some rejoicing in the saints that have been a part of that service. And in that way, you are helping their joy. In Psalm 51, we find David is mourning over his sin. And he asks the Lord for something. He says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." God's people can lose the joy of God's salvation. They can't lose the salvation, you understand, but they can lose the joy. But as we've heard this morning, the forgiveness of the Lord. Oh, I tell you, what freedom. You know, why drag around that ball of chain? Why drag around guilt and shame and all the things God's people drag around, and grudges and all these things that they have to feed and they're a heavy load? We're to run our race with patience. In fact, we should look unto Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. He had joy set before him that he endured the hardship that he did. God's people, as we've heard today, on many occasions, we are soldiers of the Lord, and we've got to endure hardship. But if we know about the joy that awaits us, I'll tell you, we'd be willing to endure any hardship. Bear any grief, carry any sorrow for the joy that awaits us. Point their minds to that. Point their minds to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Point their minds to the resurrection of the dead that awaits, that's coming. And our joy, in fact, in John chapter 16, Jesus describes that joy as a woman giving birth to a child. A woman giving birth to a child is in great pain, sorrow, suffering until that child's born. And then she has joy that a child is born into the world. And he said in verse 22, "And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." You know, when Jesus came out of that grave, his apostles, if you look before Jesus went to the cross and was resurrected, they seemed a little shaky. They seemed very, I don't know, they wishy-washy. They didn't really seem like they had their act together. But when Jesus came out of that grave and they saw him go up in heaven, you see men willing to go to prison, willing to be beaten, willing to be put to death for the gospel. Why? Because they knew if Jesus came out of that grave, then it didn't matter what they do to my body. I'm going to go and live in heaven for all eternity with Him. I'll tell you, there is great strength in that joy. In fact, he says in Nehemiah 8, verse 10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you want to have strong sheep that you pastor, you've got to help their joy. If you want them to be strong sheep, sheep that not only are they don't need any more help, they can help other people. I'll tell you, that's the church is like a hospital for sinners where we nurse them back to good health. But you got to have sheep that can help nurse the ones that are sick. And then once you get them good and get them strengthened, then they can help others. And next thing you know, we're spreading the joy. And I feel like the Lord's called on us to do that. We should always remember the Lord is coming back again. These sorrows of life are just for a little while. The Lord's going to come back again. And our joy will be full. In fact, he says in 1 Peter chapter 1, it's joy unspeakable, full of glory. My opinion is, and I think I can prove it by Scripture, joy is a little taste of heaven here on earth. You have people who are full of joy. You experience heaven, what it's going to be like in heaven, right here on earth. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing. And I charge you and encourage you to be a helper of God's people's joy, founded upon their faith, founded upon the Word of God, founded upon all these wonderful things we have here in the Bible. And we love you, we're praying for you, and we're here to help you in any way we can. That said, we now want to ask Brother Danny if you're satisfied with the work of the presbytery in ordaining Brother Joe. All right. Now we will move on with the reading of the minutes by the clerk. So, Brother Seth, if you are ready, we'll read the minutes of the presbytery, not the minutes of the church, the minutes of the ordination. The presbytery satisfies the minutes as read. We'll put that to a vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Brother Daniel, is the church satisfied with the minutes as read? All right. At this time, we'll entertain a motion in the presbytery to dissolve, adjourn. Motion made. Oh, yeah. Yes, and deliver Brother Joe back to the church, which, Brother Danny, it's at this time we deliver Brother Joe back to the church, but we're about to have a handshake, so it's okay for him to keep sitting there, but we're delivering Brother Joe back to the church. That duly ordained as an ordained gospel minister. Thank you, Brother Luke. All right. Go ahead, Brother Danny. Yeah, Brother Joe, I'm very impressed with your family. All right, your brothers and sisters, your immediate family. Really, I guess your family is well represented here at Union. I'm very impressed with all of them. This is a loving church, very welcoming church, and that's a testament to the kind of people your family is and this church is, and we thank the Lord for you. So, sorry. Now we'll motion a second for the presbytery to be dissolved. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. All right. So with this work complete, we will get back to the church conference. We will move on from reference to new business. Any new business that needs to claim the attention of the church? If there is, please wait till our regular conference. We will, therefore, entertain that the motions, the minutes be read, approved, made a permanent part of church records, and conference be adjourned in order. Motion made and second. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye. All those opposed, same sign. All right, Brother Seth, if you'll read the minutes of church, it should be a lot shorter than the ones you just read. Thank you, Brother Seth. At this time, a conference is adjourned, and we will stand and sing a song. We're going to ask Brother Joe and Sister Christy to stand up front and give you opportunity to shake their hand, hug their neck. We understand with COVID going on, not everyone's comfortable doing that. If you're not, don't worry about it. I'm sure there'll be plenty of opportunities for you to fellowship with them. So, Brother Joe, you have a number.